From Brooklyn, New York, this is Jarring Segue, an in-depth look at issues sent in by you, our listeners, and woven together in a jarring way. This week's theme is goodbyes. The host of Jarring Segue, and I am joined so happily by two of my favorite people.
Scott Austin.
Johan Karabi.
And it's been a little while since we've recorded. We've missed all of you so much. And this, we said this week's theme is goodbyes, and there's a very specific reason for that, because our first question of the night, we're just going to jump right into some questions. And I'm going to start with you, Johan. Johan, where do you currently live?
I am back in Los Angeles, California.
That's on the west coast.
The left coast.
Gross. I hate it. You're not here. I hate it.
I have returned here after many years in New York.
To fulfill manifest destiny.
To become
this,
Thor.
This was my destiny.
Mm-hmm.
I think I pretty much did everything I wanted to do in New York.
Except for
I guess visiting the Statue of Liberty.
And you didn't do us.
You never visited the Statue of Liberty?
No, I saw it. I mean, I saw it many a time.
Yeah, well, sure.
Did I go to it? Did I walk in it? No.
Huh.
I feel like it would be violating the statue.
You're up and inside that lady with a lot of other men.
Without her consent. That's
lathering up its
No, she's got her consent on a big old sign. Give me your poor, give me your sleazy.
Your huddled masses yearning to breathe my copper vagina.
Come inside my copper vagina.
Exactly. That's what
it was written in French, though, so the translation's off.
Yeah, exactly. So, Scott and I, where do we currently live?
I live in Brooklyn.
Me too, because we're cool. We're not in L.A.
Actually, now that I have a school that's in Brooklyn, I almost never leave Brooklyn. I never go to Manhattan.
That's fabulous.
Kind of is nice that I just don't have to commute. It's nice.
Oh, God, that sounds amazing.
Do you go out on the weekend in Brooklyn? You know, go to Manhattan?
I had a game night this Saturday. I wouldn't call myself like a big goer outer.
Game nights are amazing. Game nights are awesome. What'd you play?
What game did you play?
We played Blockus, and then we played.
I love Blockus.
We played Cards Against Humanity.
Cards Against Humanity.
That's a good one. We the three of us played that one.
Yeah.
The next time we're all together, we're gonna play the Resistance. No. It's a hidden loyalty game. Hidden loyalty game. We're gonna end up killing each other by the end of the night.
Sounds like Nazi Germany.
A little bit like that.
Scott, how many people were at the game night?
It was a little impromptu. There were six of us.
Good number. Excellent number for game nights.
There's always that one person at the game night that gets drunker than everybody else, so.
Mm-hmm.
I think it might have been me, because we added drinking rules to Cards Against Humanity. So if you were the judge, you picked a winner and a loser. The loser had to drink, and the winner got to assign someone to drink. And you could also double down. So if you wanted to play two of your cards, you could. But if you lost on both of them, you had to finish your drink. And I doubled down at a poor time, because I had just filled my beer.
You're drinking beer.
Yeah, and everyone knew that I was home, so they were making me drink. Because they had to ride their bikes home.
This was in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Okay. Everybody else had to leave, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that was my big going out this weekend. My friend Amy.
When did the night end?
Is the one who introduced the games. Maybe one.
Okay.
It's a good time. It's a good time
for
a weekend. Yeah,
we had bacon popcorn that my roommate made.
That sounds amazing, actually. Was it good?
Yeah, he fried popcorn in bacon grease and then threw chopped up bacon in it.
Yeah, that sounds fantastic.
Does the chopped up bacon stick to the popcorn?
Not really. I mean, in the same way that the pecans do when you toast pecans and throw it in popcorn.
He lives a very different life than us, Johan. He has pecans in his
Pantry.
Pantry. You said pecans, Beth.
I did. I said pecans.
I know, but it's pecans. It's pecan. Come on.
What makes it pecans? Why not? Why isn't it pecans?
Because it's a prettier word. Pecan is prettier than pecan.
So this
pecan also sounds like toucan.
This, exactly. Okay, this could be a regional thing. Now, Johan, what's a word that you say weird and get made fun of because you're regionally from California? Like, I say elementary instead of elementary.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
That's and not it, even from this world,
though. It annoys the shit out of everyone I know. My college roommate used to say bubbla.
Bubbla?
Instead of water fountain.
Yeah, like in New England. I gotta go to the bubbla. Can I go to the bubbla?
Bubbla?
It's a bubbler. When I work, okay, I was a teacher for 4 months up in New England, up in Rhode Island. Okay. And the first time a kid asked if he could go use the bubbler, I thought he was making fun of me, and I almost sent him to the principal's office. Turns out, it's just a different word for water fountain.
Bubbler?
Bubbler.
It's also a device you can smoke marijuana out of.
Well, maybe he wanted to go smoke pot, and I just didn't know.
It was really nice of him to ask you.
I know, right?
Yeah, do they need a hall pass?
I had a kid just ask me if she could go do a line of coke off a whore.
But it only meant get a snack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a regional thing.
Difference. All right. Here's a question. Which coast is better?
You didn't answer my question. What's a word what's a word you guys say funny? You say pecan.
It is not funny to say pecan. It's right.
It's a pecan.
People here say freeways instead of highways.
Oh. All right. I'll take it.
I think the Jimmy's versus Sprinkles debate is still alive and well.
Yeah, that is still alive and well.
What is that debate?
Whether you call them Jimmies or Sprinkles.
Thriving.
I think they're different things. The long cylindrical ones are Jimmies, but the circular ones are Sprinkles.
No, they're the same.
I've never heard of these things.
They're the same.
I don't know. The thing about New Yorkers that drives me nuts is standing on line. You stand in a line.
Wait, standing on line? Ew, no.
You stand in line. Yes. You don't stand on
line.
Everyone in New York City.
That is such a violation of a preposition. That preposition needs to call a hotline now.
Unless they painted a line on the goddamn sidewalk, you're not standing on a line.
No. I'd prefer they said they were queuing up.
Queuing up is the worst. Who says that?
The British.
Harry Potter queues.
Yeah. Those people we beat in the Revolutionary War.
I don't know of anything else besides freeway highway.
All right. Well, I mean, then there's the whole, like, Hellman's versus Best Foods or Edie's and Dreyer's. Some companies have different names.
Oh, that's true.
Exactly.
And Carl's Jr. versus Hardee's. It's Carl's Jr. here in the West Coast.
Is it owned by the same people?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Owned by a star, I think. Like a...
Roseanne Barr.
Angelina Jolie.
No, I meant an actual physical star, because that's the...
It's the logo.
Oh, you mean like a collection of gases and...
Like the sun is a giant star.
It's going to burn up and kill us all.
It's a certain amount of Hardee's.
Oh, all right. Now, which coast is better and why?
Duh.
Coast-wise, I think the West Coast is way better.
I actually like the weather of the West Coast.
Me too.
City-wise, New York's probably a way better city.
I don't know. I mean, because if I had to choose, if I could choose my city, which I can, but, you know, circumstances being what they are with, like, family, and there's many reasons I stay on the East Coast, I would want to live in Seattle. I mean, I love the Pacific Northwest.
She likes coffee and hills and harpooning shit.
Yes, and gray days and rain. They are
gray
all...
Gray days? Oh, you should totally go up there.
Rainy
right?
days and Mondays always make her happy.
Get me down in opposite
worlds. In LA, since I've been here, it's been like 80 degrees every day during the day.
It's about 30 here.
Yeah, it's cold.
Is it really during the day? 30?
Just today. It's going to be 60 again on Friday, so don't cry for us, Argentina.
Argentina will not be crying for you guys.
No.
Argentina's... Their level of apathy just shocks me all the time. They're never crying.
I know. Exactly.
What are you doing?
Yeah, seriously, what did you just do there?
What did I do?
Yeah.
What?
Because it sounded like an airplane was taking off in my living room.
Oh, I just like... Is it this?
Yes.
Yep.
What's that?
I'm just rubbing my hand on the dust part of my keyboard.
I was like, you're rubbing your hand on the what part again. Of your what?
Where's the microphone on a laptop?
It's, you know, it's right in the top left above escape.
Is that? Oh, really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I don't see it here.
It's a tiny little oopop.
Oopop. It's like an oopop. It's like the Hanson.
It's the technical word.
I don't think it's on this old on the older Macs. I don't know. I don't think it's there. I don't see it. It must be near where I'm putting my finger now, though.
All right. So.
Okay, next.
So we met each other about a year ago in an improv class.
Yes, we did. I miss you.
In that time, we created Jarring Segue. And what is your favorite Jarring Segue moment thus far?
You're asking me?
Yeah. All three of us will answer.
Do I have a memory of this? Whoever first, and then we can go in that order. You know what we should do is replay it. Our editor will take care of this.
Do not do that to me.
I do love, that's one of my favorite things is fucking with Beth and making her find sound effects. Those French children.
I do, and actually in that podcast is actually one of my favorite moments was when I said, oh, listen, there's the sound effect of two guys shutting the fuck up. That was actually one of my favorite moments.
Did we shut up though?
No, of course not. Never. It's you. It's the two of you. You never shut the fuck up.
I really liked when I found out about Monopoly.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. When you found out about the iron.
That was my favorite personal moment.
As long as it's not the iron.
And you two just looked so sad for me. Like, genuinely sad for me.
I was genuinely sad. Because you cared so much.
So that was a good moment. I also like that we predicted the Pope leaving.
Oh, my God.
What can we predict next?
Actually,
we do talk a lot about the Pope.
We have it in the last few. Well, this Pope is interesting. He's fascinating.
He truly is.
Is he?
Yeah.
Are you not keeping up with the Pope?
He's like, yeah, if you follow me on Twitter, that's some purgatory time off.
I just feel like to be a fascinating Pope is such a low bar because, like, it's such a boring role.
I disagree.
You just have to, like, speak like a human being to be at all minimally fascinating.
I disagree. Leader of one of the most influential religions in the world? I don't think you're...
Scientology is the most influential religion in the world.
Oh, he moves back to LA. Right.
Yeah, he's in California.
He's in LA.
That's what I'm told here.
Wow, the body thetans have taken over and they're speaking
through
you.
They've got a nice place on the freeway.
Nice.
Just going over the 101 and it's awesome.
Yeah. Fabulous.
I'm trying to think of funny things we've done. I know we've talked about, actually I'm just looking at the episodes on my computer right now. I don't remember.
I don't, you guys listen to them. I almost never do.
Well, we're going to cut that Scott. Out that you don't listen to your
No, I don't listen that's to my right. podcast because I'm here. I'm listening to it now.
I know. My favorite Jarring Segue moment was actually being in the car with you two and going to that wrong house before we got to Hallie's. And then deciding that that's where Hallie lived and she'd sold out and was living in this, like, crazy cul-de-sac of a neighborhood because we'd managed to put in the wrong address.
Even though
we didn't record it, that is my favorite Jarring Segue moment.
Do you know, actually, episode one is my favorite. I don't know why. There was something about it.
Because it's the first time.
There was a nice episode, and maybe there's lost footage of it sometime, when Johan decided to go into improv and we like improved a whole scene.
That was the first episode.
Yes.
I think it was the second and it was crazy. It didn't work. Everyone was confused.
Yeah, we were like,
I was not confused.
And there's actually in that episode there's like a speaking of and we weren't talking about it at all because we cut the scene right out.
Yes.
That's the producer's fault.
Can our producer maybe find and release that clip just for funsies?
I am going to try.
She has a lot of free time, so
I have so much free time. What with my job and
now that your zombie prov performances are done,
and yet I still don't have as much free time as I. Well, I shouldn't say that. I do have actually a lot more free time than I did because zombie prov was 27 hours of tech, 13 performances. My whole last month of my life. Yeah, October was pretty much gone.
Beth, can you explain to the audience what was Zombie Prov?
Yep, I was in a show called Survive Survive. We performed up in Harlem at the 133rd Street Art Center. And it was a combination of improv and vignettes. and scripted stuff and everything like that. And the description that Trevor, who's one of the directors, gave is that it's The Walking Dead meets Sleep No More. And it was really good. It was really exhausting. I don't need to do anything like that again for a little bit because it was exhausting. I just and like I'm covered in bruises and I didn't even get hurt. Like there are people.
How many cast members are there?
30 or so, and then a couple of bunch of people in the crew. Amazing crew.
Why 30?
Why 30? Because we needed zombies. And the vignettes, all the vignettes had a lot of different actors.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
But there were only 5 survivors. It was me and then Zoe, Alyssa, Jamie, and Logan, and we were the 5 survivors. And that was really special because the 5 of us were doing something that we were trying to live till the end. And I lived till the end one show and then got bit at the very, very end and had to be stabbed in the head by one of my fellow survivors.
Wow.
Yeah.
And how many audience members at a certain time?
It sold out almost every show, and it was anywhere from 50 to 60.
So now, when you were stabbed in the head, they had to say goodbye to you. What is the hardest goodbye you've had?
The hardest goodbye I've ever had was a friend of mine when I was 25 years old. A friend of mine by the name of Kim died very unexpectedly. She had a heart attack, and she'd had heart surgery when she was 12 because she had a leaky valve. She had a heart murmur, and she'd just gotten the clean bill of health from her doctor because she had regular checkups. And 2 weeks later, she was driving home from work, sensed something was wrong, pulled over, and when she didn't come home, her wife Candy called the police, and they went and they drove her route home. And they found her car on the side of the road, and she had died in the car. And she'd managed to do it in such a way where she didn't hurt anybody else. She knew something was wrong, and she pulled over. Her foot was still on the brake, and everything like that. And she was 25. She was just about to go back to school to study what her parents were studying, to study psychology. And she would have been great. She was going to work with teens, especially like LGBT teens, and at-risk youth and everything like that. And she was a really good person. Like, she was the kind of person who made me. She just was, like, so positive, and she just loved people, and she just made you feel good about yourself, and just seemed like she just had just so much life in her, and she passed, and that was the worst. Being at her funeral was just, like, it just didn't make any sense to me. It still doesn't. I don't get it. So that was the hardest goodbye I've ever had.
So it's weird how sometimes, there's two different types of goodbyes. There's the after the person already left goodbye, and then there's the... And I guess, both can be equally terrible.
Yes, absolutely. And then there's the actual goodbye where you're saying goodbye to someone who's, like, alive or a breakup or, yeah.
Yeah. But I guess, the difference is that in the other case is that if somebody, like, we said goodbye to each other, we'll talk about that in a minute, but at least you're going to see each other again.
Yeah, of course.
There's a chance. And when you know you're not going to see somebody again, that's the craziest.
Yeah. I mean, what's...
When there's that element of, like, well, it's out of my hands. I can't control this goodbye.
Yeah.
Like, I've had students die, and that is the worst. Ugh. It's horrible. Can't even but, imagine. It's not... I don't consider that a goodbye. I guess I don't consider funerals a goodbye. I know they are, but you're not saying goodbye to the person. You're giving yourself closure, but they're not getting closure. They're not getting anything. They're a body laying there, and I don't know how to, like, to me it's a very different thing than saying goodbye
to
someone.
It's not a two-way goodbye.
And it's not a choice. No one's choosing to leave.
Yeah. I mean, if I had to do the what's the goodbye, hardest goodbye I've ever had, like where it was a person, who was it was an active goodbye, it would probably be... Johan leaving sucked.
Leaving my apartment every time you do it.
Yes. But it was also my sister moving back to Atlanta, which was tough, but actually the hardest one I ever had in terms of just emotional, like I was losing my shit, was when I'd been abroad for a year and I had to say goodbye to 4 of my closest friends who I'd met while I was at the University of Bristol. Mm. And I was in this, and I was, they'd come with me to the airport. This was before 9/11. So you could walk people to the gate.
Yeah.
And I... was, I mean, they were, the people were asking me if I was okay, like all the, airline attendants were asking me if I was okay because I was a mess. I was just so sad because, like, I was leaving the country and I didn't know when I was going to see them again. And it just, and they had changed my life. The whole experience had changed how I felt about myself and travel and adventure and all that kind of stuff. But so wait, so what about you two?
Well, I remember when I was in sixth grade, so I guess it means you're like 12, right? So I was like 12 years old, and my brother, who's 6 years older than me, was going to college, and that was the hardest. He's 6 years older than me, and we've been fairly close, but we took him to Georgetown to see him off to college, and that was unbelievably difficult for me, for whatever reason, because, you know, who cares?
Because he was going to Georgetown.
Fuck him. Yeah, he was going to Georgetown, and, you know, like, essentially, like, we've been living together all my life, and he was gone. That was really crazily difficult.
Yeah.
I mean, I got over it within, like, you know, very quickly.
Because you were 12.
Because I was 12. I was just like, oh, a ball, red ball. And I saw the red ball, and then end of my brother.
That's sad.
Well, that's nice, actually.
It wasn't, I mean, easy to move on when you're a kid. But, yeah, it was very difficult.
For me, I think when I moved here to New York, I was very, like, good at departmentalizing all of my emotions, and by departmentalizing, I mean ignoring.
And you said departmentalizing instead of compartmentalizing.
Yeah, I did. Yeah,
I thought you said apartmentalizing.
Apartmentalizing, because I was moving to an apartment from a house.
I thought you were maybe going to Macy's to cool off.
No, just enjoyed... Oh, that's one of my favorite moments, too.
The Macy's cool off.
The great Macy's cool off. I had breakfast the night before. My van was all packed. Some friends had come over and helped me pack it. And I had breakfast with my brother and my mom and my dad and my little niece, Betsy. And on the way home, Betsy had, like, gotten pinched by the seatbelt. And my brother, in an attempt to make Betsy just stop, like, crying and being upset about the seatbelt, he was like, "Betsy, can you sing Uncle Scott a song?" And she sang me the alphabet song. And just hearing that in her little voice and, like, knowing that I was going to miss so much of her growing up now that I wasn't living five blocks away, that was probably the hardest thing for me. I was very sad about that. I was very emotional for the first hour of driving my U-Haul.
Saying goodbye to kids. I had that same thing when I went and visited my sister when she had Elliot. And, like, it's hard.
Because, like, adults get that, like, oh, I won't see you until Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And
you can talk on the phone and you can Skype and whatever.
Yeah, but I can't, like, really talk on the phone with Betsy because, frankly, her attention span could use some improving.
Yeah. Seriously, kids, man. What the hell?
What's wrong with them?
Yeah,
I mean, she would always devolve into her singing the alphabet song.
Exactly.
It's true.
Yeah.
You're trying to talk about Obamacare, and she starts rattling off the fucking alphabet song.
So,
you never,
like,
legitimate conversation with a child. It's a shame.
It's true. I do often talk to her about John. Good old John and Michelle. Those crazy. We're tight. We're tight.
Yeah. No, yeah, goodbyes with kids. Yeah, my nephew Elliot, every time I have to say goodbye to him, you know, he's two now, and so, like, he's got so much personality, and he's so amazing. It was hard enough saying goodbye to him when he was a baby, and now he's, like, this little person, and I love him so much, and he's in Atlanta, and so every time I say goodbye, I just feel like I've been punched in the chest, because every time I see him again, he's changed a lot. He's grown.
Even
in just a few months.
And he punches you in the chest every time.
And he punches me in the chest. Right. It's one of our rituals, actually. So.
And the taller he gets, the higher up on her chest. It used to be just, like, in the gut, and now it's lower boob.
Yeah, now it's lower boob, and that hurts. All right,
and
so
then eventually he punches you in the face, and then when he gets old enough, he just picks up a shovel and just
thwacks me.
Exactly. So what's the easiest goodbye you've ever had?
Yep.
Easiest goodbye. Woo. That's a good question. My easiest goodbye is generally when I'm at a social event and I finally get to leave if I don't want to be there. That's a great goodbye. And I think what makes it easy is that I've thought about it for 2 hours and prepared myself to get the hell out of there. The moment I stepped into the event, I also wanted to leave.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. I think
I don't know what an example is.
I think my easiest goodbye was probably saying goodbye to college. I had some really wonderful friends who I loved, who I'm still close to, who I still consider good friends and I adore, but I hated the college I attended. Like, it just wasn't right for me. And so it was really easy to say goodbye. I mean, I went through the normal process of, like, what the hell am I going to do with my life afterwards? But I didn't have a hard time saying goodbye to school, to say goodbye to Bucknell. Like, it just wasn't the right grade school for some people, not great school for me. So I was like, see ya. Goodbye, college.
I had two guys that I had dated who started dating each other.
Whoa.
And all right. I had stayed friends with one of them, and he told me that they were dating each other and that they didn't know that they'd both dated me until a little while after, and this was awkward and blah, blah, blah. And I was just like, nah, goodbye. I am fucking out of here. Like, I'm done with Syracuse dating. This is weird. But I really wish them well. They're both, I think they actually will work well together. They're still together.
They're still together.
Yeah. Nice. They both needed more affection than I ever give.
Yeah. I mean,
and
that's fair.
So I think that they'll get that from each other, whereas I could not give. So it was a very, like, they were like, we're sorry, you're probably weirded out by this. And I was just like, nah, I mean, it's fucking weird and small. What a small fucking community. But no, actually, goodbye. Small fucking community. And however you want to interpret that.
Yeah,
is
however,
right.
whatever emphasis you want to put on whatever symbol. Yeah.
And it was kind of like, to one of the guys, I was like, well, the guy I was still friends with, the other guy I did not. But I was kind of like, well, enjoy the bad sex, because I've been there. So it was, that was the easiest goodbye. Like, I got a little, like, satisfaction out of them dating and me being like, I don't have to try to be friends with either of you. Yeah. That's me washing my hands of them.
He just washed his hands.
Or them slapping each other.
Yeah, exactly.
Having good
either.
Sex. Have you heard the saying, I heard this the other day, that death is the end of life, but not of a relationship.
Okay.
It's a nice saying. And I think it says a lot about goodbyes. Because
who says that?
Yeah, who says that?
Mitch Albom.
Who's that?
Oh, the guy who wrote The Five People You Meet
in
Heaven.
Oh, The Five People I... Oh. Five people
I
fist in heaven.
That, like,
the five people
you
fist in heaven.
Five
people you meet while fisting.
Even if you're not
fisting with Maury. Tuesdays
fisting
with fisting.
With Maury,
Tuesdays fisting Maury.
Oh wait, he's not the five people.
Same guy.
Yeah.
And five people named Maury you meet while fisting in heaven.
Yeah.
I thought it was Mitch Hedberg.
Yeah. I miss him. That's a hard goodbye.
It was hard to say goodbye to Mitch Hedberg.
It's so hard to say goodbye to yesterday.
I know. Mm. And I mean, my grandma died last week, which I figured I'd bring up because we're talking about goodbyes. And so I'd like to believe that, like, our relationship... I mean, you know, whether you're... It doesn't matter. The steps above us are making me laugh. That's my grandmother walking above us. Whether you're religious or not, like, whether you're an atheist or a, you know, a evangelical Christian or a Scientologist or whatever you believe, you know, you can believe that a relationship continues if only for the fact that, like, your memories of someone and what they gave to you and what you carry with you is a continuation of that relationship. So,
now what's the best song about traveling or leaving? There's so many songs about leaving.
So my hard part is, like, one of my favorite songs about leaving is a breakup song by the Dixie Chicks that was originally done by Patty Griffin. But it's about a man leaving her.
Peter Griffin's song.
No.
Not related to Peter Griffin?
No. Patty Griffin, who sang a song, because the Dixie Chicks love to record Patty Griffin's music because it's amazing. It's a song called Let Him Fly, and I just love it. It's about basically letting go of someone and being like, I can't hold on to this person anymore. I've got to let them go. But it's about letting someone else go. It's not about you actually leaving. So that's
all right.
That's one. I think that's, I love that song. Just about basically being like, we can't do this anymore, so I'm going to let you go. So, that's my favorite.
How about you, Scott?
Right now, Midnight Train to Georgia is stuck in my head.
Wow.
He's leaving. I love it all. Midnight Train to Georgia.
And Billy Joel's Moving Out.
Yeah.
But I typically don't like Billy Joel, but I do like the song Moving Out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the song that made me realize I had to move from Syracuse was Haha Tonka's Westward Bound. It's not really literally about leaving. It's you know, it's a good, it's a good little ditty.
My other favorite song about traveling slash leaving is Ramblin' Man. Lord, I was born a ramblin' man. I mean, that's such a great song, just about like being nomadic and wanting to go around the country. Like, you just can't settle. You can't settle down. I love that song. All right, Johan.
I was gonna say, this song is called
Tracy Chapman's Fast Car.
I love that song.
Oh, Running on Empty. I don't know why that song for me is.
Wow, I'm surprised at that answer, but it's a good song.
It is a good song.
It's a great song.
Good for you. I like that one.
By Jackson Brown.
Yeah, no, it's a good song.
And our last question is, why did you make your most recent move?
Johan, we'll start with you because you had the biggest move. Because Scott and I both moved recently, but kind of not so far.
Can I say one thing before I answer that question? Is that what was interesting for this move, moving to LA from New York after 5 years, was that this maybe only because you learning and getting older, you are used to going through the experience of saying goodbye to people, that the thing that struck me and that was one of the most painful parts of leaving this time was of what I forget. Of knowing I will forget things, or like, you know, like for me, one big thing was like, I'm gonna forget some of the subways or like subway stops, and like forgetting certain things about New York City because I'm not around it anymore. Yeah. And I think that comes from experience, that you go through the experience over and over again in your life, and you realize that, yeah, saying goodbye is always hard, but you do move on and things pick up and your life goes on. And that actually, for me now, is not a source of comfort. It was a more source of sadness that things would move on, and that I would forget some certain things and get accustomed to not being there.
And it changes. So New York is not the same as it was when you lived here a month ago.
When I moved, because I lived in Providence for 7 years, and then
flaming brassieres.
Yes, exactly. Those bras full of fire. You know, I lived in Providence for 7 years before moving here, and the hardest part for me about going back is realizing that I am now a visitor, you know, that I, no matter how much I feel connected to that city, and no matter how many good memories and bad memories I have and how many people I love there, I am a visitor that is not my home. And it completely, of course I knew this logically, but it completely continued without me. It's like, oh my gosh, guess what? The world didn't stop because I moved. It's continued without me. And you know, this is hard and sad and whatever. So, okay. So having said that, totally makes sense. Why did you move to LA or back to LA?
I think for me it was because in my mind, when I moved to New York in 2008, I never thought I was going to be there long term. I never thought this is where I'm going to be in 20 years.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking 60 years. I'm talking like 10 years, 15 years. Is this where I'm going to be?
Right.
And I never assumed that, even though I love New York City, like, really loved the city. But so that for me was, I was transitioning jobs anyway, and I didn't want to start a new thing if I wasn't going to really be there long term. I want to be somewhere where I could potentially be here for another 10, 15 years and kind of really establish some roots. So that was a big reason. The other reason was because I have my family out here. Mm-hmm. All my family's out here. So I think totally traveling back and forth and missing things was hard.
Absolutely.
So that's minor. I question it every day I'm here, and I have to drive everywhere and sit in traffic, though.
Yeah. No, I know. There's things that I know that when I move out of New York, which I will inevitably, because New York is not the city that I'm going to live forever, that I will miss.
I moved apartments this summer, and I did it because this one's cheaper rent, got a full kitchen, and it's bigger and nicer.
Your other apartment was nice, but it was a lot smaller.
It was small.
It would have been perfect if it were just like me and Reginald. I had an office.
And Reginald's cat.
I hate cats.
I know. I know you do.
I just, in case anyone hadn't listened to any other episodes, I just wanted to make sure
that we were clear that you hate cats.
That I do not like the musical, nor the...
No, I hate the musical.
Nor the animal.
What about Dr. Katz, the cartoon? That's a good cartoon.
Oh, yeah, in what it was, a Squeakavision? Blurravision?
Oh, Blur? I think it was Blurravision.
it's Stutter-a-vision? I don't even know. But, I mean, before that, I moved down to New York. I've always loved New York. I wanted to move here for undergrad, and I was applying to colleges and wanted to apply to some down here. My parents were like, meh, hold off for grad school, and so I did, and then I took a job in Syracuse, and I think I always just knew I had to be down here for some reason. I had to try it, so
yeah,
I finally did.
Yeah, and I moved. The big reason I moved apartments was because my friend, my platonic soulmate, also named Beth.
Yeah, okay, and my brother, P.S. Beth just the other day used the phrase, my PSM. And I was like, what the fuck does that stand for? Like, that's a thing.
Platonic soulmate. It's platonic soulmate.
Well,
it's,
she just said it, so of course you know it, Johan.
Yeah, no, I know. I wouldn't have done that before.
I thought I used
No, that's not a thing. That's
it
not a thing.
It is a thing. It is a thing.
No,
it's
people don't... LOL is a thing. Raffle is a thing.
We can Google it, Beth. So
PSM is not... Yeah, what...
Well,
when we Google
be.
PSM, what comes up, Johan?
Probably, do you mean PMS?
might be what happens. I'll tell you what comes up right now. I'm going to go...
PSM. The Pacific...
Process Safety Management.
Oh, wow.
Wow, that's not...
Oh, or it could stand for Professional Scrum Master.
Oh, well, that's...
According to Wikipedia. Scrum Master.
What is a... Tell me, what is a professional
scrum... Here's a list of things that PSM can stand for according to Wikipedia.
Go.
Professional Scrum Master. Which
Scrum.
Is professionally certified by Scrum.org to manage agile methodology-based projects.
Well, clearly.
Of course. Of course.
Management.
Of course.
A Pakistan School Muscat.
Woo!
It's a Pakistani co-educational institute in Oman.
Okay.
Palestine Solidarity Movement.
Awesome.
Pan-Hellenic Socialist Movement.
Wow.
It's a center-left party in Greece.
Yeah, Greece.
PlayStation the Magazine.
PlayStation Magazine. Okay, fair.
What?
PlayStation what? Magazine.
Fair.
I'm gonna skip a few because they get a little bit weird.
Because they get a little bit weird,
The Protocols of the Elders of Zion.
Protocols of the Elders of Zion? Is PSM.
Platoon Sergeant Major.
Wait, no, no, no. Go back to the Elders of Zion. How is that not PEZ?
Oh, because it actually is an acronym for Protokoli Sioskix Medrukov.
Oh, well, in that case.
Of course it is.
Which sounds, it's a Judeo-Masonic plot. It's a tract that alleges Judeo-Masonic plot for world domination.
You know what? I'm going to go into Wikipedia, and I'm going to edit Wikipedia to reflect
and
the fact.
This?
Yes.
PSM stands for
Platonic Soulmate. Platonic Soulmate.
You know what the best one is, though? Is a plus-size model.
Ooh.
Woo! Yeah, that's right. These thighs of
potato
mine.
Potato starch material.
What? Yeah, okay.
PSM.
PSM.
So your PSM, I don't think Beth would like you referring to her as a plus size model.
No, because she's, and it doesn't make sense either, because she's not.
She's a tiny,
tiny
little nugget
she's
of a human.
She's tiny. But so yeah, my platonic soulmate Beth and my brother Steve, who moved from Chicago, moving to New York. Beth already was in Chicago. Steve moved to Chicago recently. And so
no,
we got a...
Liar. They moved to New York. No one's living in Chicago.
Sorry. Steve was in Chicago. Now he lives in New York. And so we got a three-bedroom, beautiful three-bedroom that we really love. So here we are, the three of us together again, even though we're not literally in the same room, we are at least on the same wavelength. And I miss you, Johan. This is stupid. You should be here.
I miss you too.
I know.
Oh, yay. Let's not be mushy on the podcast. That's
and
not
you
what
know,
we do.
A lot of good radio shows I listen to have people in three different locations. It's
no,
awesome.
I know. It's really common. It's actually really common. NPR does it all the time.
Yeah.
It's just they have better recording equipment. But it is super common for podcasts to have people from all over. It's actually the people recording all in the same location is actually slightly less common than probably the other one. So
it's your classic PSM, your podcast Skype module.
I was trying to come up with the answer for that. I was like, it is your popular methodology. I couldn't think of the
answer.
That's
great. Well done. Well done. That was really good.
Sinking.
So we're going to sort out the technology.
We're going to make it. We're going to have some guests on.
We're going to have some guests. I've got some people lined up to replace Johan.
She's auditions with me for present.
Never replace you.
Yeah, we couldn't replace you. You're too much of an asshole to be replaced.
It's true. I won't tolerate anyone else being as much of a dick to me as you.
Exactly. Oh, you gave me the finger. Oh, finger. But yes, yeah, so this has been, we're so glad to be back doing this again, because we've missed doing this. We've missed getting a chance to talk to you, our Jarring Segment audience.
We've missed Johan's final words. So yes, the final Johan. Words for this episode. Yes. What have we learned?
I almost forgot about that. Guys, I think today we talked about how saying goodbye can be difficult. Particularly if you don't get a chance to see the person again. But if you do get a chance to see the person again, it's actually never goodbye. It's only, you know, pause, see you mañana, which is also known as PSM.
Oh, Johan.
As they say.
That's so true. Really, so, Johan, I'll PSM you, and it's been real.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Thank you for listening. We'll be back to our normal format. Next time, we'll be asking again for topics and questions for us to discuss. We want to thank you for listening, and thank you for not saying goodbye, for saying hello to us once again. As always, I'm your host, Beth Hicks.
I'm Scott Austin.
Johan Karabi.
Have a wonderful night and enjoy the fall, everyone.
And PSM questions. Please submit more questions.
Good night.